And good morning, folks, and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. We're coming to you live this morning, December 6th, 2025. I'll bring the men on the line. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
And good morning, Will.
Good morning.
Well, thanks for being here, guys. Will, why don't you start us off with a word of prayer this morning?
You bet. Dear Lord in heaven, we come to you, Lord, this morning, just praising your name, thanking you, Lord, for another beautiful Saturday morning, and, Lord, the opportunity to get together and have a good conversation amongst these men. Lord, we pray that the conversation will be uplifting to our people and pleasing to your ears. God, just bless our labors as we go through this, and Lord, just continue to bless us in all of our days. Lord, we love you, and we ask it in your name. Amen.
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 Well, there is a lot of stuff going on in the world, and there is a lot of stuff that happened in this last week. Just going through some of the notes, it's like, dang, I was busy. I didn't get
it. It seems like to me that it was kind of a slow couple of weeks, and then it was like, all right, we're going for this road. Everything's
going to
happen all in about 5 days.
That describes it very well. That's what happened around here. It's like, dang. It is good. It's that time of year where it's that time of year. It's holiday season and stuff, and it seems like some stuff is slowing down, and some stuff it just seems like it's just ramping up. It's just, I say, praise the Lord. It's good. Things around here have been really busy. We've been working on the newsletter, trying to get it put together, really hard this last week, and that is coming together good. So, I was thankful for that. And, as we start off, I just want to encourage people to, tune in and join us for Wednesday night prayer meeting. Same place, same time here on the Scriptures for America Broadcasting Network on Wednesday, 7 o'clock Mountain Time. And, if you don't, tune in and join us, if you can't do that, then get signed up and get on the prayer chain list. It's what we can do. It's one of the most important things that we can be doing for our kinsmen brethren is praying for them. And there's nothing too great nor too small for our Heavenly Father to handle. And I really believe that there's a lot of power in that program. And I think we're going to see a shift. And I think it's going to be something that's going to be, I think it's going to be more important in the future than it ever has been. That's just my sense about it. I believe that when a person, even if you get on that list and you pray for those people that are in need, that it is, I believe that you're blessed because of that, because you do that. And
amen.
I know it's been a real blessing for me and for the two men that are on the radio with me to be able to participate in that. And I'm grateful for those out there that do join us and do pray for the needs of the saints. But get on the list, shoot me an email, get subscribed on that list, pray for our brothers and sisters that are in need. And I think it's a really awesome thing, and I think that I think it's going to grow. I think we're going to get momentum with this, I think there's great things on the horizon with it.
And to put it into Christian military parlance, it's our first and last line of defense. It's the first thing Amen. We need to do, and it is the final thing that you can do on everything, too. I mean, it covers both ends of the spectrum. So, when me, choose him first and last. My Bible verse today was in John, and if I can get my computer to cooperate with me, which is what I'm having a little trouble with at the moment, but John 10:14-15 says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have first and last line of defense, choose Jesus first, because that's what he does.
Amen.
So epic. Prayer meetings, very Jason, important. Prayer, too. Go ahead, Will. Sorry.
No, I just want to jump right on what you're saying, Tim. And in my mind, I'm probably not going to be as eloquent, but, you know, for our people, for the remnant out there, if you want to take a Louisville Slugger baseball bat to the shins of Luciferians, get together in corporate prayer. Because that is a weapon that the enemy shivers. They don't want us doing that. And just me, just a, I guess, stiff-neck Israelite, if they don't want me doing it, that makes me want to do it 10 times more. So,
amen.
It is a good thing.
Yes, it is. I agree 100%. Yeah.
Yeah.
So 7 o'clock Mountain Time here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network, and I try to get the prayer chain sent out Wednesday earlier on that day. But if you shoot me an email, I can add you to that list. You can email me, jason@sfaw.org, and I will get you added to that list. And if you have a prayer request, that's the other thing that, you know, there's a lot of people, there's a lot of, and I probably fall into that category on a pretty regular basis, but that the scripture calls us stiff-necked Israelites, and sometimes it's we just don't want to ask for prayer. We don't want to do it because it's like we have the attitude that okay, there's somebody else that needs it, somebody else could use it. I'll pray for somebody else, but I'm not going to ask for prayer for myself. And that's stubbornness, but I know. In my life, I am blessed when I ask for prayer. I'm blessed when I pray for other people's, when I see my brothers and sisters and they have a need, and I pray for them and just encourage people. It's it's a lot cheaper than going to urgent care or going through a lot of frustration. Let's just put it that way. Sometimes it's, we have not because we asked not. And I think it's a lot easier sometimes if we would just, humble ourselves and ask for prayer. I don't know. Anyway, I just want to encourage people. That's another program we're putting a lot of time into, and the redoing the prayer chain and trying to get those out, and it's a program that's for our listeners, and take advantage of it.
I'd like to encourage people to come and help us out. Read it and pray it, and don't leave it all to us. God says that he grants things because he gets asked more than once. So that's why we pray about these things all week, all month, and everything else, is because we're going to keep asking, we're going to keep pounding and pulverizing to try to get that done. And guess what? We could use help. People say, well, I don't know what I can do. Well, come and help us with that. We need it. We're glad to have you join with us and add your prayers to ours. Thank you. And that's an open-end invite, not from necessarily from Tim, but from you know, God Almighty. So, I mean, he said when more than a couple of you come together and pray, I'll answer it. I'll do it. So,
that's right.
Yeah, we cover your participation for sure.
Yeah, well, like you said, Tim, and I hear that all the time. I don't know what I can do, I hear it all the time is, you know, there's nothing that I can do. And my answer to that is, well, you can pray. And, you know, people just talking about things, you know, I mean, talking about some of the stuff that we're going to be talking about on this program this morning, you know. And when we talk about this stuff, it's because we want our people to be educated. We want our people to know what's going on. We want to discuss the topics of, you know, we started off talking about world news, and then we go to national news, and then we go to local news, and that is kind of that's the protocol that we follow. And it's not to scare people. It is so people are informed about what is going on in the world, in our nation, in our local communities. And don't be scared about these things. It's you know, we're not trying to, you know, be like the fear mongers that are out there, just putting stuff out to put fear into the hearts and minds of the people. It is so that we can be educated on what's going on, and we've got a lot of stuff to pray about. And
yeah,
that's what it boils down to, is we need to be praying about these world issues, these national issues, these issues that come up in our communities, and combating them in prayer.
Yeah. If you're not,
we don't want to get.
Go ahead, Will.
No, I was. We don't want to get sucker punched. That's all that this is. Is you know, we. Go ahead, Tim.
Well, the other thing I think is, if you're not aware of it, you know, if you don't. You know, the proof's in the pudding, so to speak. When you pray about something, when you see these things undone, or they come to naught, now you have praise. I mean, now you have confirmation that God is, you know, moving in that. So, but if you don't have any idea of what's going on, if you're oblivious to it, there's no positive, there's no negative, you know. I mean, it's like,
Yeah, amen. Well, moving on, let's go to world news. Let's start off with, Hillary Clinton was back in the news again this week. Says young Americans are pro-Palestine because they watch totally made-up videos of Gaza horrors. And so I watched this video. It was just, I mean, it was comical. But one of the things that I noticed is, like, they are getting very defensive about what's going on over there in Israel and Palestine. And I think they're desperate. They're just desperate as can be to try to justify backing the Jews. Well, I don't know. What are your thoughts, guys?
I thought it was interesting that they, I don't know how much electricity it took to get her animated again, to get her out of the crib for her to get in front of a camera. But, so the interesting thing to me on this, Jason, was she's given this address and it's being sponsored by an Israeli newspaper.
Right.
And she's speaking to Israeli citizens. And I'm thinking, what the hell? Why is Hillary Clinton in this? She's not. Why does this matter? And why it matters is because they're using the same old, tired, bought and paid for talking heads to try, because they're desperate, like you said, Jason. And I'm going to tell you what they hate. They hate the social media platforms that are disseminating information right now. And that's why there was this play. Do you guys remember that, you know, the Jews were trying to buy TikTok and they're trying to buy Instagram and all of this sort of stuff because they want to control it. They want to control that information. That is their MO. And right now they're having a very hard time controlling the information. Because for all of your TikToks and all of your Instagrams, there's Signal and WhatsApp and just all of these other apps and platforms that pop up almost daily, and they can't control it, and they're tearing their hair out over it. Because the truth, at least in my time, and I'll ask you guys, because y'all's been watching longer than I have, I've never seen this amount of information on the truth of what's going on in Israel. I've never seen this much information come out in such short of amount of time.
Oh, no, me neither. I don't think there ever has been.
I've definitely never seen it either in such a wide cast across all platforms either. I mean, there were people out there saying things, but that was just one thing. I mean, it's scattered right now, kind of like a little bit of the shouted off the rooftops type thing. Them talking about it being totally made up, or her talking about it being, quote, totally made up, end quote, that's like, that's not the pot calling the kettle black. I never heard anything. It's like, accuse somebody else of what you're doing. And I couldn't help but think when I listened to this and they were talking about, how they were becoming sympathetic toward these other people. And I don't really care what name you put in there, but if you do a little bit of a mental dive into that, how dare they be sympathetic toward people's babies being killed and their hospitals being blown up and making rubble out of their towns and everything else. And their response would be like, they're doing that to us, but if you go over there and if you panned the camera over there and took a look at that, you'd see a totally different thing. So it's like, it's good. That's what it is. It's good to have people maybe come out of their show and actually take a hard, realistic look at what's going on. So
inside one of her quotes too, and this isn't an exact quote, but she talked about this is Clinton, Hillary Clinton talked about, it's not the usual suspects, which I took to be like people like us, like me and you, right? Like that's who the usual suspects are. Then she starts talking about, these anti-Semitic remarks are coming from well-educated young people that just don't know their history. And, that sort of thing. And I'm thinking, well, that's what's scaring them to death, is you have a young generation that's supposedly well-educated that the school system hasn't, either they've become unindoctrinated, unbrainwashed, or it just wasn't effective enough. That's really what they're scared of, is these young folks. Because, going back to it, it's not just there's so much news coming out that's anti-Israel. It is the diversity of people. It's black people. It's Hispanic people. It's white people. And they're all coming out with a negative viewpoint of what's going on in the state of Israel and this genocide, this stuff going on over there with the Palestinians. We've said it on this show, and I'll say it again. The Palestinians, I'm not losing any sleep over it, but if that's the trigger point to wake the world up, I'm glad.
Yeah.
I'm glad. I don't know if you guys got a chance to see it. I sent a link late to y'all, but, we talk about Venezuela a lot. Did you see what Maduro, the president of Venezuela, came out and said about what's causing the unrest and that sort of stuff in Venezuela?
I didn't see
so, that. I sent a link. Go ahead, Jason.
And I wanted to go there, but go ahead. Lead the way.
Since we're talking about the wide kind of scope of it's not just neo-Nazis.
Before we move on, I just want to say one thing.
Sure.
Vince Foster. While we're talking about Hillary Clinton. Bill Clinton. Remember that name, and if you don't know the story, look it up and read about it. We don't have time to go into it today, but Vince Foster.
Strange things happen at Fort Basie Park. Anyways. So here is the tagline. This is off of the Times of Israel. not what I would consider to be an anti-Semitic publication. The Times of Israel, longtime leader who claimed victory but has refused to release the detail of vote tallies and fraud claims, claims opposition was financed by a global Jewish conspiracy. Maduro blames international Zionism for unrest in Venezuela.
Dang.
Wow.
Yeah. That's kind of some, huh?
Huh.
Yeah. And I have found supporting articles on this. This is just one article, but I have found a couple of articles, and there is some quotes, and I'm taking this with a grain of salt. I don't speak Spanish, and so I'm not saying that I understand every word that this guy is saying, but Maduro on Wednesday, today is Saturday, on Wednesday was quoted as saying that Trump and the Zionists are trying to do in Venezuela what they did in Syria, mm-hmm. and commit regime change being funded by international Zionists. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
It says all the communication power of Zionism, which controls all the social networks, the satellites, and all the power, is behind the coup d'etat, Maduro said in a televised address. So, I don't know. I'm not a fan of Maduro or Venezuela or whatever. Let's just add him to the list of a guy that's now coming out and telling the world this is who's behind this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and one of the other things that I've heard too is that the CIA basically they're having problems with the Mexican cartels on getting the drugs into the United States, so that that's one of the places that they've got good standing relationships to you know get their drugs from, and because CIA basically they are, from what I understand, they're one of the biggest importers of drugs into the United States, and that they've been there's been changes and shifts and fights and stuff like that, and basically their Mexican cartels aren't putting out I think is what they did is I think they just cut out the middleman is what happened, and so I think they had to have a new supplier, so I think that's one of the reasons that we're spending so much time over in Venezuela. I mean, that's just my 2 cents worth. I don't have a lot of proof on it, but I think that there's something.
That's
to
a good
it.
2 cents.
Yeah.
I think if you add guns and human beings as far right. as trafficking on top of that,
yeah,
I think that's
exactly
accurate.
Right.
Yeah. So crazy stuff. Speaking of guns, I mean, I'm going all across the world. I came across this, and I think this is important. I don't know if you guys will think it is important or not, but it's the European Union agrees on Canada joining the European Defense Program. I don't know if y'all had a chance to take a look at that
or not,
but essentially, boiled down, this opens up the door for Canada to sell weapons to the European Union without all the red tape.
Really?
So the EU is essentially, Canada is going to be a trading partner, a defense trading partner with the European Union, and they get to bypass a lot of the international red tape since they're joining this pact or this union or whatever. And reading into it, it's a $174 billion deal, there's a lot of talking points in this, but at the end, this last sentence to me is what tells the tale, because this is just sort of a hidden little story that, you know, if you're not paying attention, you would never know. But the last sentence of the story says the European Union is looking to bolster its defense industry to counter a mounting military threat from Russia alongside a U.S. disengagement from Europe. So, in other words, the United States is pulling resources from Europe, so the European Union is looking to try to get as much weapons from anybody they can because of what we believe, what we've talked about, is a coming war with Russia. So it looks like our cousins to the north are getting dragged in to this mess over there, at least as trading partners. $150 billion is a lot of money. $174 billion, whatever it was, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of weapons.
That's a lot of weapons.
And,
well, so do they manufacture that many weapons up in Canada?
Go ahead, Tim. Yeah. Maybe you know.
No. You go ahead. I'm interested to hear.
I don't know. I have no clue.
I think this is a workaround in order to get American weapons into. I mean, basically, the U.S. is disengaged from Europe. We cut vast numbers of weapons imports to them because of where and what and how they're going and for financial reasons. But Canada has a lot of stuff. We provide Canada a lot of military aid and a lot of guarantees. Mm-hmm. And I think this is a backdoor workaround on getting American weapons into the EU. That's kind of my opinion. But, yeah.
I gotcha.
I think that would make sense.
I don't know of any Canadian military manufacturers. I mean, I don't know.
Ordnance was the only one that I couldn't think of. And I don't know even know if Pear Ordnance was made in Canada anymore. Did they sell out a couple years ago?
Seems like
they used to be in Ontario.
They did, I believe.
I think
component manufacture goes on up there, but as far as systems completion, I mean, there may be a couple that I'm unaware of. I mean, I don't know everything,
I think
very, very light.
Savage and Stevens was making some .22 rifles and some stuff like that up there, but I mean, nothing military grade.
Huh. Interesting.
I don't know. Well, that makes total sense, Tim, as far as that would be a, it's the old shell game, right? Where the United States isn't supplying, but Canada sure is supplying what the United States supplies Canada.
Yeah.
Makes sense of that. Yeah. Yeah. Well, to me, the boiled down point of that is the European Union is gunning up. They are spending an awful lot of money gunning themselves up in what it looks like is a coming war with Russia.
Yeah. Well, about the only companies that I'm aware of that are in Canada, as far as I guess you would call it, defense systems manufacturers are General Dynamics has a facility up there, and Colt Canada has one. Those are two that I know about, but they're so tied in with American, with U.S. technology and everything else. I think it's more of a, what do you want to call it? It's a puppet operation. That's my opinion, of course. And I think it's also, between you and me, I think it's probably a liability issue. I think it's a legal dodge, which is kind of what this is, but that's my thoughts on it. So, I mean, there's just looking through some of the stuff. There's a company up there called Rheinmetall that does naval weapons systems. But a lot of that stuff is partnerships that tie back into the U.S. And the majority of the tech, they do some of the assembly, some of the components manufactured. But as far as, like, this is a turnkey setup, not really. So that's my opinion. And maybe I'm messed up, but that's the way I see it.
They better be armed up there. Man, they got an invasion going on, so.
Sure enough.
Well, the citizens sure aren't, right? Yeah, exactly. So it's sad. I mean,
Derek says Babylon runs America and Canada and the rest. Don't be fooled. They all work for Esau.
Amen.
Well, anywhere you find huge, huge sums of money that start with, you know, millions or billions, M's or B's or T's, you're going to find this kind of Esau graft. And, you know, we've talked about the military-industrial complex. So it's there. It's real. I mean, those things are going on.
Yeah, indeed. Hundreds of Porsche owners in Russia unable to start cars after a system failure. What do you know about this?
I know my old diesel truck doesn't have this problem.
That's funny to say that. Yeah.
Well, yeah, this
is not a new thing, but it's certainly becoming a real thing. To see them brick cars, and that's kind of what we call it. Basically, anything late model wise, at the flip of a switch in the right place, your car is now brick on wheels. I mean, they're coming. It's not coming. It's here. And a lot of this new stuff is just one technological glitch it may not be a glitch. It may be a overt action, but they're not moving anymore. And I was laughing about this because it occurred to me when I read this article that there's all this flap in the media right now about the AI war, you know, the coming AI war. Who's going to win the AI war? And it reminds me of, I think that's it probably comes out of the Art of War somewhere. I don't know. But, you know, sometimes the only way to win a battle is to deny the enemy, conflict. Or to win a conflict is to, you know, deny the enemy battle. And so what would happen with the coming AI war and all the money and all of the scramble and everything else that goes along with it if we just said, no, we're just going to stick with the old tech, you know, and we're going to make it better and we're not going to have these problems. I mean, they can't shut your power off if it's not computer controlled and AI can't hack it. They can't shut your car off. Like Will said, if your diesel truck doesn't have a computer that runs it, and we've seen this over and over again. No matter how many millions of dollars you spend for security, somebody else comes up with a workaround. You know, I mean, it happens. So,
Go
ahead.
You said something, and it's been a couple weeks since I've had a chance to put my tinfoil hat on. So I'm going to put that on now, and I'm going to ask you guys a question. And it's something I've thought about a bunch, and I've not gotten an answer to it, so maybe you guys can give me an answer. Let's go back in the time machine and go back to 15 years ago and Obama's cash for clunkers.
Yep.
What happened to the clunkers? Where did they go? What did they do with them? I'm being serious. I mean, I'm not trying to. Oh. I don't know what. Did they get scrapped?
Yeah,
I don't know.
They got
because
scrapped.
They're not. Is that
they
what happened?
Glass.
Well,
yeah, they poured glass in the engines and basically made them inoperable and scrapped them out. Yeah.
Well, isn't that convenient? Isn't that convenient in light of what we're talking about now? That you take hundreds of thousands of vehicles. I don't know how many were actually scrapped, but the ones that would run that doesn't have these operating systems like that wouldn't be a brick, right, Tim? And
right.
You pour glass in the engine and make them inoperable, and those are just off the face of the earth now. You can't go back and retrofit that. And isn't it convenient that, you know, what was happening at the time, we thought, you know, whatever we thought, emissions, these are good vehicles, they're just wanting to roll in these EV vehicles. Well, maybe it's all about control. And what they really wanted was to roll out these technologically advanced vehicles with the GPS systems and the onboard computers that have the ability to remote start, remote stop, all of those things that we see now in vehicles. Maybe that's what they really wanted. And what they didn't want were the old Detroit machines that you just put fuel in, crank up, and go. And what a better way of getting those off the road than to appeal to people's greed and just write them checks. And us being stupid people, we just went right along with it. Well, some of us did. I did. So I've only ever drove fucker, so that's...
Yeah, maybe that was a blessing, right? Yeah, it's like, well, yeah. I've never owned a brand new vehicle. I mean, that's never happened. But you look back and go, well, maybe that was a good thing, Lord. So, yep. Yeah, I think that I don't think it's tinfoil hat ish to really look at it that way. And you're back to data. You're back to all these other things. And you know, I look at talking about the conspiracy, which the Bible talks about clear back at the time of Christ's death, that there were conspiracies and that they are ongoing today. And, you know, it's one of those, you know, your insurance company wants you to put a chip on there so they know how fast you're driving, where you're driving. We'll give you a little better deal, not much, but little. You know, the list just goes on.
I was talking with an insurance agent the other day, and so he was telling me that we can put these chips on your cars, and you know, then we can monitor your speed, and we can monitor how many miles you drive, and this and that, and it's gonna. And I said, no, that's not gonna save me any money. That's gonna cost me money. Yeah. And he's like, well, what are you talking about? I said, trust me, that would just cost me money, and we're not doing that. No, and he did not understand. It was you could tell that he was given a mind to recite, and that's what he did, and he did that very well, but he didn't understand the other side of the story.
Have you guys seen where it's not even chipping the cars now, that with the different insurance companies, they want you to participate in whatever they call it, the flowery language, whatever safe driving program, so you can get this $20 a month discount, where they're wanting you to download the app
on the phone.
And when you download, that's right, and you give your phone the permission for GPS or location or whatever, and geospatially, they're actually monitoring how fast you're driving, where you're going, you know, all of this sort of stuff. To the point where I was reading some stuff online where a guy saw his insurance go up because he was making repeated trips to like Home Depot, and the insurance company ends up coming back and says, well, you told us that was a personal vehicle and you're using it for work. And it's a, right. And so, I'm thinking to myself like, man, oh, you know, the whole idea is, you remember when you were like 15 and you couldn't wait till you were 16 because you got your driver's license and you're going to be free? Going to be free. I can get my car and go anywhere I want, anywhere that $5 worth of unleaded will take me. I can go and do anything I want to do. And now you stop and think about it, is that mindset is, I'm just going to give whoever permission to watch everything that I do inside my vehicle. And I don't know. I despise these people that say, well, I got nothing to hide. You know, what am I afraid of? I got nothing to hide. And that makes me want to, I don't know what that makes me want to do, but I don't know. I just, I
somebody.
Yeah, I was going to say choke. It makes me want to choke somebody, Tim, if you stop and think about it, in America, especially in compared to some of these European countries and that sort of thing, in America, we're wide open. We have this awesome interstate system, this awesome highway system. Owning a car was a rite of passage for a young man to get your truck or to get your car. And with it came just this sense freedom. I can go get a job. I can go on dates. I can go do whatever I want to. And it just seems like that's one more thing that they have tried to control. They're just control freaks, guys. They want to control everything.
And the right to privacy is so fundamental. I mean, when you lose that one, you've lost everything else.
That's right.
Because when you're stopped, they want to know where you're going. It's none of your business where I'm going. I can go wherever I want.
That's right.
You know, I mean, and it doesn't matter whether you have something to hide or not. It's simply not someone else's business. You know, and
that's right.
Just like that phone app, it's like, because your privacy is part of who you are. It creates your persona. And I share that with who I want to share it with my friends, with my family. There's certain people that know me intimately and know me well, you know, and there's certain people I don't want to know me. And that's the right to privacy. That's fully within my God-given right, you know, to do that. My selection.
And what you're saying is just one more example of how our founding fathers, because of the anointing of God Almighty, just knocked it out of the ballpark when they came up with codifying these God-given rights. Because along with the right of privacy comes the freedom of association. So in other words, I don't have to tell people my business unless I choose to. And the government can't compel me to tell them their business except without probable cause, and that's a whole other thing. But what you were saying there, Tim, is that is the equally yoking of the First Amendment, of, you know, that right to privacy is equally yoked with the freedom of association. I like with you gentlemen this morning, we're getting together and fellowshipping and we're talking about the things that we want to talk about, and no one can infringe upon that. And you can't force me to go associate with someone I don't want to, and you can't force me to tell you, you know, my business. And that comes because of that right of privacy. And, those are things that is God's, those are intentional from God. A lot of it goes back to the household of, you know, a husband and a wife and a family, that we have the ability to be secure in our household. As a matter of fact, it's commanded to us, right? You go back and look at the book of Luke and, you know, a strong man in his household and that sort of thing. And I look at all of this and think, the enemy really has done a good job of just separating us from the original plans of God. We've done it to ourselves. We've allowed this to happen, but I'm telling you, that is what invigorates. That's what gets me excited when I see this new conversation that's happening about the Israelis over there in the Middle East, that I think people are figuring it out, guys. And I think we're going to see a resurgence of personal freedom as a result of it. I don't know. Maybe I'm off base on that.
Well, I think it's, the conquest or consent, you know. And it's, you know, they're very similarly related. I mean, you know, but it's just like that thing Jason was talking about with the phone. When you let them do that, do you really think that the only thing they're watching is where you drive your car? I mean, are they that? They can sell that information the rest of the time. How long was he in Home Depot? You know, I mean, you know, we can sell that at Home Depot. So, you know, and so when we look at those kinds of things, I think that, you know, if people consent to it, quit consenting to your own enslavement and your own chain, you know, and consent to God's authority and freedom and liberty. I mean,
Amen.
That's where we're at.
Well, and they like to invade on your privacy as much as they possibly can. and they actually despise it and hate it when anybody tries to use that against them and tries to you know, audit, you know, these First Amendment audits have gone viral, and they absolutely hate it when the coins are you know, flipped and when it's used against them, because they just and they don't even know how to react when they're called on the issues.
Mm-hmm. Kind of reminds you of that Zuckerberg thing when they were, what Congress was talking about the privacy issues with, was it Facebook, I think it was, and they were like giving out people's phone numbers, and they asked him, they said, well, can you give us your phone number? And he goes, well, I'm not going to give it to you here in an open forum. And he's like, but you post people's phone numbers in an open forum there. Well, I'm not giving you mine. See, they set, and the Bible talks about that, they set one set of qualifications for you, but they have a totally different set for themselves, you know. So it's like, and when we see that, there's no equity involved in what they do. And they think so little of your privacy or of your personal space that they happily sell it. That, to me, that's kind of like, you know, God despised Esau because he sold his birthright for a mess of pottage.
Right.
I mean, instead he hated him forever, and that's what they do to us. You know, they say, you know, so
I agree.
How many dollars per thing?
Let's take a break. Let's go to the phone lines real quick. Hello, caller.
Hello.
Hey, Warren.
Yeah, it's calling in. I was listening to you guys talking about, you know, all the spidey places they got out there nowadays, you know. All these, you know, this is the time of the year that they got all this Medicare Advantage stuff, you know, on the TV and all that. I get like all kinds of calls on my cell phone from it, and I ask them where they got the information from. And they said that Medicare sells them that information. You know, I ask them, well, how the hell did you get my name and phone number? So if the price is right, you know, I could find out whatever I want about you. They know more about me than I know about myself.
Right?
I got a comment out there, so... Yeah, you know, that's a good wake-up call, you know, to put out there that, you know, Social Security, CIA, or whoever's out there knows more about you than you know about yourself.
Exactly. Good point. Real good point.
Okay. God bless you.
All right. Thanks for calling.
And the hypocrisy of that is that somebody can die because they can't share information with another physician in an emergency situation because they have HIPAA laws, you know, but they can sell your information from Medicare to somebody else. It's like, how does that even work? Yeah, exactly.
I'll tell you what, I don't know what's happening lately, but man, I got camel jockeys that are calling me all day long, and... It's with different, you know, cleaning services. That's what cleaning services, insurance services, this, that, and you know, I repeatedly, I tell them, put me on your do not call list, lose this number, and don't call me again. And I'm at the point of, you know, I try to answer every phone call that comes in, and but when you're getting 20 or 30 of these a day, it gets a little irritating.
Hold quick.
If you want to screw with them, Jason, tell them that you're busy and ask for their cell phone number so you can call them back later. they don't know what to do then. It's not on their script.
Well, and they're talking about all these AI calls coming out now, you know? I mean, it's just there's all kinds of weird things going on. So
I know we're getting to the bottom of the hour here, but I'll tell you guys, recently I had, like this week, I had to call in for some customer service, and I was about, I don't know, 60 seconds, maybe a minute and a half into a actual phone conversation, not like a chat box on the internet or whatever, but an actual phone conversation, and I realized I'm talking to AI. This isn't a human being, and it was as if it was a human being. It was real-time answers. I noticed just a slight lag time. I mean, just enough to notice, and I realized this is AI. This is not a human being I'm talking to. Anyways.
I know a couple people that signed up that are using that for answering services, and they say it's absolutely phenomenal. It is, and I don't know. It's kind of scary.
Kind of scary. Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. We have a couple minutes before the top of the hour. Go ahead, Will.
Can I say, yeah, I got something to say about AI. It's nothing. It's just an observation. I was thinking about AI after this phone conversation, that sort of stuff, and it occurred to me, I don't watch a ton of television or anything like that, but think about what I'm about to say. We don't see replays of, like, Terminator or Terminator 2 on television. Like, that's not something that gets played in rotation. And I started thinking, you know, those were fantastic movies that made tons of money at the box office. But those sure don't get played like on television. It's not like, it's almost like that and like 2001 Space Odyssey. Like they don't want you watching those because of what happens in those movies. Too much truth. It was just an observation I thought this week of we don't really get to see those. And we do get to see all of the cool stuff that AI is just going to help our lives tremendously.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and I think that, Skynet, I mean, there's actually one of the things involved in AI is that it's like, well, it was a tongue-in-cheek name. Was it? Really? I mean, you think people are that stupid? Yeah, interesting. So that's kind of my favorite comeback. Did you ever watch Terminator?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that movie actually will kind of make your hair stand on end. Or should. So, you know, when you watch it.
I know. There was, I'm trying to think what movie that was, but I remember it was a science fiction movie that me and Pastor Peters watched, and one of his favorite lines out of it was, "They don't get to us through the science, they get to us through the fiction." And it's like one of those things that just stuck out and sticks in your mind. But it was some alien movie. But I think that that's what it is, too. I think that, you know, the movies like that, it's like, it's amazing, like, how many people don't know anything about the Terminator movies or anything like that, and the AI stuff, and it's like, I mean, they were telling a story in with the drones and with the AI and with everything, and you know, that was way ahead of its time.
They were telling us what was to come.
Yeah, was it a chicken or the egg? Right. Yeah. Mm. Exactly.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in just a few minutes. Stay tuned, folks.
Now we can see a new world coming into view. A world in which there is the very real prospect of a new world order.
The new world order does not mean surrendering our national sovereignty or forfeiting our interests.
We'll be right back. mind may glance away in fear, as if you should not look at your reflection in the mirror. How can I explain to you when you won't understand? You scoff me and you mock me and reject the truth at hand. You spread your vicious rumors all across this troubled land. You willfully and knowingly transgress from his command. Your mind has been made unto you by people you don't know, whose thought machines control the scene so well it doesn't show. How can I contain this anguish and this pain, knowing that your eyes are blinded by the lies? Have your eyes been blinded by the lies? Have your eyes been blinded by the lies? Yes, your eyes are blinded by the lies. Yes, your eyes are blinded. About the damage that's been done, the anger wells inside me till I'm almost overcome. I want to tear the moon out of the sky and drop the sun. Why do I feel so all alone, like I'm the only one? Even though your eyes are open, they may never ever see. Your mind may never comprehend this sinful subtlety. Your heart may never hunger for the truth that sets you free. Your soul may know the darkness of divine eternity. Like many thieves who plunder in the shadows of the night, they break inside and enter through the windows of your mind. How can I control this poisoning of the soul? These lies that blind your eyes, blinded by the lies. Have your eyes been blinded by the lies? Have your eyes been blinded by the lies? Yes, your eyes are blinded by the lies. Yes, your eyes are blinded by the lies. Thought machine controls the scene so well it doesn't show. How can I contain this anguish and this pain, knowing that your eyes are blinded by the lies? Have your eyes been blinded by the lies? Have your eyes been blinded by the lies? Yes, your eyes are blinded by the lies. Your eyes are blinded by the lies. Have your eyes been blinded by the lies? Yes, your eyes are blinded by the lies.
And we are back. And I'll bring the men on the line. Are you there?
Yeah.
All right.
Yes, indeed.
Okay, where do you guys want to go next?
Well, we're about ready to switch to national, I think, aren't we? National news.
Yeah.
Let's do it. I see that I see we have a dog being killed in California, huh? Sanctuary state by what, an illegal alien? So
I thought you were talking about the illegal alien, Tim. He got killed too.
Oh, did he? Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, I don't remember what country that guy was from.
Oh, I don't even know if I ever heard.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was, but that's, there's things like that going on all around the land. I mean, just because this one made it, I think he was maybe from El Salvador. So
okay,
it seems like Jose Domingo Ayala, so Alice. Well, they got four names over there, man. I mean, you know. But anyway, So.
What happened? What was the deal with the dog getting shot?
Well, you probably know more about it than I do. Well, go ahead.
Yeah, they basically the cops. This was in Burbank, California, and the cops went to nab this guy, and he took off running, and the cops with a canine. Dog name was Spike, just if you're curious, gave chase, and the wetback shot the dog, Spike, when the dog found him hiding in some bushes, and the dog later died from the gunshots, but some more canines and a SWAT team continued the chase, and they located the guy, and he now ceased to exist. He decided he was going to shoot at the cops, and that didn't turn out well for him. So that's what happened.
Yeah, not very many of these guys have been, you know, I think that's one of the things that I've noticed. It's like you'd think that you see these arrests and stuff that are taking place, and there's not a lot of them that are getting shot. Maybe they're just not reporting it, but I think that they're doing a good job because they don't want that outlash. They don't want that the repercussions of shooting them, and I think they're doing a pretty darn good job, but not shooting
they
them.
They have been, but I will tell you, Jason, I think it's coming.
Yeah.
I do. Yeah. I feel it, my bones. I think it's coming. I think what you're getting is chapters in a book, right? And I think we're just we're kind of getting into the middle of this right now, and I think we're going to start seeing some of that.
Huh. Yeah.
Yeah. So what you're saying is the easy ones are probably going first, and
that's right.
Yeah, and I would tend to think that was probably the case. I mean, they're some of the more militant ones are what. Kicks in a hound.
Well,
yeah. So,
and I'm skipping around, but you know, since we're talking about it, there is a move at least. There's a lot of talk happening now about Minnesota and the Somalis and some of these enclaves in places like that. And I don't think it's just talk. I think you may see the feds moving into some of those places because right now they're tying 80,000 plus Somalis in Minnesota to this fraud case, you know, of if we've talked about it here about the autism and all of the government money that was being stolen and funneled back to Somalia. Well, that makes these people who participated in that criminals. They were engaging in criminal activity, which nullifies their status here. And what happens in those neighborhoods? Are those people just going to roll over? I mean, we are literally seeing second and third generation Somalis in Minnesota right now. You know, first off, is the government going to have the balls to do it? And secondly, how are those communities going to respond to that? And if they do it in Minnesota, are they going to do it in Michigan? And my hope is yes.
Yes.
My hope is yes, and I don't know if you guys got a chance. I know I'm bouncing around like a ping pong ball, but did you see this administration that they came out and they listed 19 countries that they're no longer going to allow, even legally, into the United States?
I did see that, yes.
No, yeah. I didn't see that.
Yeah, Afghanistan, Burma, Chad, Republic of Congo, Equatorial Guyana, Eritrea, Haiti, Iran, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, Yemen, Burundi, Cuba, Laos, Sierra Leone, Togo, Turkmenistan, and Venezuela.
All the people that we don't want here.
Absolutely. And so there's some in there that are really important. And so Burma, you may also have heard Burma referred to as Myanmar, and that is over in the South China Sea, and those people have been allowed into the United States. If they can get here, it is hands off. They are 100% granted amnesty, and that has been going on for almost 50 years. Going back into the early 1980s, the Burmese people who are not good people, they are godless heathens, and they have been allowed into the United States to the point where they have protective status, that they're caught committing a crime or something like that. They don't get deported back to Burma. They're a protected people. So when I saw that, and I saw that the same thing applies to the Cubans, because we know why with the Cubans, but I started seeing all of these countries that we've given this protective status to. So what this does is eliminate that protective status. It used to be the finish line. If you could make it onto U.S. soil, you cross the finish line, you win. You have won the immigration lottery. You're not going to get deported. Well, what Trump has done is to say that stuff stops. We're not doing that anymore. You're not allowed here anymore. So it's a great first step. And what I hope the second step, like what Tim was saying, you know, that's the easy part first. Now is the question is, are they going to start finding these people and saying, yeah, retroactively, you can't be here anymore? And I hope so. And I think there's a lot of talk of moving that way.
Yeah. Well, I thought, to go back to the Somali thing again, I thought it was interesting that we were talking about Minnesota there, that Ilhan Omar, she's got a lot of interesting ties to this Somali food fraud scam. $1 billion went missing. And then you find out 70 members of a Somali community in Minnesota were involved in stealing $250 million in COVID funds that were intended to feed children. Millions of dollars were stolen from American taxpayers and sent overseas to Somalia. Of all this, basically one and a half, you know, I don't know what the total is, but basically you're talking about probably close to $1.5 billion, at least on the face of it. 80% of it's never been recovered or accounted for. So,
right.
You know, and they had 7 defendants. I think they were from Minnesota too. They were being tried, or they went to court up there in connection with a scheme on charges related to stealing more than $40 million in taxpayer funds. And one of them, a Somali woman, she was trying to bribe jurors with $120,000 in cash. So,
golly.
After the last 5 years, there's been who knows how many millions of dollars. You know, there's $5 million here, $10 million there. You know, $1 billion here. It's like, and it all relates back to Somalia's. And supposedly, again, I don't, you know, she married her brother to get status, you know, and there's all kinds of, I wait with bated breath for arrest or something along those lines. It's like, yeah.
Let me jump on that too, because along those lines, Tim, I heard this week talking about Omar, that they're going back and looking at the vote counts for her. I don't know if you saw this. And to the point, I guess, where the feds are doing some kind of audit on this, because remember, the states control elections, even in these federal district elections and that sort of thing. And I heard a number of tens of thousands of potentially unlawful votes that were cast for her because it was cast by non-U.S. citizens that were only here with temporary status, these Somalis. that Minnesota allowed to vote. And so I think they're getting to the point of where the feds are actually trying to audit these vote counts, and they're going to try to get her out. Take that for what it's worth, but a lot of attention is being shown in that area, which is a good thing, because, you know, you stop and think about how many times we've talked about your Dearborn Michigans or Minneapolis or whatever. It's high time somebody does pay attention to this.
Yeah. Yeah, this kind of stuff needs to cease. It's got us, you know, and it needs to be rectified. I mean, retroactively, because it's been going on for too long. And it, like anything else, when they get away with it, they think they can just keep on getting away with it. So
that's right.
I know they're talking about dead people voting, you know, all kinds of stuff. So it's like, yeah.
Well, let me throw this out there, too, just because it's the right moment to do it. Since we're talking about Minnesota, it's not so much about the Somalis and all of that, but Derek Chauvin, if you guys remember that name, he was the white police officer who was convicted of murder of George Floyd.
Right.
He was the guy who was had his knee, his back, you know, or his knee on the back of George Floyd. He has amassed an all-star team of attorneys, and this week they filed for a new trial, and they cited over 300 instances of miscarriage of justice from medical examiner's reports that were not allowed to be seen by the jury, that were, you know, introduced as evidence. There was a litany of things. I sat and read through all of the material that was not provided, that the judge ordered was not allowed in court, that would have been used for his affirmative defense, up to the point of, if you guys remember the big thing of, you know, he was kneeling on the neck of George Floyd, and this is an unlawful thing that he went rogue and did. Well, there was an expert witness who was prepared to give testimony that this had been taught by the Minneapolis Police Academy for like 20 years. And Derek Chauvin had been lawfully trained in this, and the judge ordered that not admissible in court. So it sure looks like Derek Chauvin is going to get a new jury trial. And I would be as bold, Jason, as saying we need to pray for that guy.
I think so, too.
And for this to happen, because I think if he's given a truly fair trial this go around, that we would probably see a reversal of his conviction, and then probably all hell will break loose. Because if you remember Tim Walz, the governor of Minnesota, he's the guy that talked about his wife just opening the windows of their house so that she could smell the tires burning during the riots, because they're just sick weirdos like that. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with that.
Since you brought that dirty rat up, did you see this week when I don't know, they were in Washington D.C. and he was asked a question. He's like, was asked the question, "What is a woman?" And he's like, "What?" And she repeated the question, "What is a woman?" And he could not give the answer to what is a woman. And it was pretty comical, because that went viral, but it was good. I mean, what kind of it was pathetic, but yeah, he's a piece of work, that's for sure.
Yeah, he's something.
Yeah. That's confusion at its finest, right? Yeah, can't just give a definition of the difference. So it's just,
you know, and I mean, we talk about Minnesota and the Somalis and stuff like that. And I'll tell you what, I try to get back to Minnesota every couple of years. Still got some family back there. That's where I was born. And you can drive all around, and there is some beautiful country in Minnesota. It's absolutely gorgeous. I love it up there. I love the lakes and the trees, and I mean, just it's beautiful country, a lot different than what we got out west. But you can drive around, and just about anywhere you go, it is. You can tell that it was our people that settled their land and built it. There's barns and farms and dairies and cheese factories and stuff, and it's very it's a very concentrated area where the Somalis are in Minneapolis, Twin Cities areas where they're at. But there's places that you go and it's just like, oh my gosh, what country did I land in? It is just it's crazy. And Michigan's the same way. I mean, we talk about, you know, deer porn, but man, I just got back from had to spend a couple days up in Michigan, and it's, you know, beautiful country, and a lot of, I mean, our people, you can tell that it's, you know, the Pennsylvania Dutch, it's German, Scandinavian, it's our people that were there, but they come in and just concentrate in certain areas, and it's just interesting.
Strange how they seek the heartland area out. I mean, it's like a tumor, as far as that'd be my definition of it.
Yeah.
So and they're just metastasizing all over the place. So and I don't think it's going to work out well for them. But that's just, at least I pray it's not. So, but yeah. Have you guys heard anything about, I just changed gears a little bit. Have you heard anything about Aaron Spencer at all? I mean, I don't know. I don't think we've talked about him on here before, but that's an Arkansas case talking about national news. And I think that's one of those. We should be in prayer for him. I think we need to be.
Who is it?
He's an interesting guy. His name is Aaron Spencer.
The guy up in Canada?
No, he's in Arkansas.
No. Oh, okay.
Arkansas. Tim, why don't you tell us about it?
Well, his daughter was, and I don't have all the fine details. I'm continuing to work on it, but he's a regular guy like us, at least from what I can find out. But his daughter was raped, kidnapped, and basically he managed to get the guy before he got too far away, before the cops got there. And they were on the way but didn't make it, and neither did the guy who kidnapped his daughter. And, of course, the bottom line is when we look at that, they decided to prosecute him for, I guess, basically murder. I mean, I don't, you know, that's, but there's been a lot of things going on in there that I've been, and his daughter was 13 years old. I mean, this happened in October of 2024. This guy who kidnapped her, his name was Bossler. He was 67 years old. He was arrested in July, charged with 43 counts of sexual assault of a minor, internet stalking of a child, and everything else. And, you know, like usual, they let those predators go. But he called 911 and located her, and he basically said, hey, he's dead on the side of the road. I had no choice. But, of course, then in the course of prosecuting him, they decided that they would they put a gag order on him so he couldn't even talk about it. I mean, you know, which that's strange. But the bottom line is he's continuing to fight. I think the other interesting thing is that the sheriff's up for election in his county, and he's now running for sheriff. So... You know,
the dad is right.
Yeah, Spencer.
Yeah. Spencer. Yeah, he's running for sheriff.
He's running for sheriff. I personally hope he gets it, but I look at all this and it's such a travesty. in the and he did. He supposedly he rammed his truck into the rear. Well, what would you do if somebody was kidnapping your 13-year-old daughter? I asked.
Tim, on that too, the daughter was kidnapped out of their house.
Out of their house. Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, the dad woke up hearing his daughter screaming. So it wasn't like he went looking for them. This was kind of a fresh pursuit of the 67-year-old dude dragging the daughter out of the house and throwing her in the truck and dad giving chase. All of those things are kind of precepts within the law of, this guy's, I don't pretend to know everything about Arkansas law, but if it's in conjunction with the majority of other states, deadly force is utilized or authorized in kidnappings all across the country. To interrupt the kidnapping, the same thing with a sexual assault. That is kind of a standard all across the country. So I'm 95% sure if I took the time, I would find the same thing in Arkansas. That, you can utilize deadly force to interrupt a kidnapping. But a little more on that is when the guy got the bad guy stopped, according to this Aaron Spencer, the guy got out, said some choice words to him, and had something in his hand. Don't know what that something was, but going back to the reasonable person or prudent person doctrine, which is also something that's universal across the United States, it's what Aaron Spencer believed at the time. So you have to stop and think, there is a kidnapper who's sexually assaulting your daughter and he gets out and says, blank you, and he has something in his hands, he's probably not inviting you to a tea party. So yeah. I would think that he probably felt like his life was in jeopardy. So, yeah, it sure seems like, Tim, that this Aaron Spencer fella is there's the appearances of him getting railroaded.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like this should have been a non-starter. And
100%.
Shame on, yeah, it's just like, but they're doing the foot drag thing on it, trying to run them out of money for defense and different things like that. And I definitely want to just encourage everybody to pray for him. I know they have, it's not a GoFundMe page, but they're trying to, the gag order was from a circuit judge, Barbara Elmore. But they took that to the Supreme Court. They struck down the gag order, and in their writ, they criticized her actions on issuing a gag. I mean, you can't gag somebody on their defense. We're back to that right to privacy, right to speech.
Yep.
And, we don't want people to know that we've released him 43 counts. That's not a couple, it's like this guy is a predator with a history of that. And, I think the guy, the way I see it, he was doing a godly duty and taking care of his family. And I just, at least from what I know and what I see here, he's on my prayer list and then my thoughts. And, I just want to make sure and bring that up today.
Yeah. Why don't you, Tim, write that out and send it to me, and we'll make sure and get him on the prayer list too.
Okay, I will do it. So we should.
Yeah, these sexual predators have really got a free pass for a long time, and I hope those days are over.
Me too. Well, they need some beer. I mean, that's the thing. They think that they're going to get a free pass and walk away, and nothing's going to happen to him. And here we have a dad who, this guy served his country. He's a decorated war hero and everything else. And it's like, nah, this isn't going to, you're not getting a pass. So the whole thing, it's outrageous. That's the right word for it, too. And it's outrageous that he's being
prosecuted. Go ahead, bro.
No, I had to look it up because I wasn't familiar with the county where this happened. I know a little bit about Arkansas, and it's surprising to me that something like this would be happening there. And turns out this is a suburb of Little Rock.
Okay. That makes sense.
That makes sense, because if it was going to happen anywhere in Arkansas, it would be around Little Rock. So that makes sense to me. I got just a little bit of an anecdotal story just because it fits that, about 18 years ago here in the little small town that I live in Texas, we made some national news for about a week because, there was a birthday party going on, and, it was a family gathering with a bunch of cousins and neighbors and that sort of thing. And, someone asked at the party, you know, hey, have you seen such and such? And it was a little girl. She was 5 years old. And the dad went looking for her, and he found her out behind the barn, being raped by a man and, just an acquaintance of the family. And that dad actually beat that man to death right there by the barn with his hand. He beat him to death beside the barn, in defense of his 5-year-old daughter. And I would hope that times had not changed so much that it would be different now. But let me tell you what happened. The sheriff's office responded. They took the statements. The county attorney came out. She did what she thought was right, which was take it to the grand jury. She instructed the grand jury that in the state of Texas, Chapter 9 provides for deadly force to be used in the prevention of a rape or a sexual assault. And the grand jury found that man, that no grounds to hold that man. As a matter of fact, the foreman of that grand jury said that if they could, they would give him an award. for being the most honorable citizen in this county. And I look at that, and I know that man personally. I've bought honey from him many, many times. He's a good man. And I brought it up to him one time, and he said, if it happened tomorrow, I would do the same thing. And he said, it's just not my daughter. If it was your daughter, I'd do the same thing. And we need to go back to honoring men like that and not persecuting them. If the world needs more men like that. They need more men like Aaron Spencer.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Well, so, the old saying, all that evil needs to triumph is for good men to do nothing. You know, and
that's right.
This is, to me, is further proof that doing the right thing costs something. You know, and I want to see him walk away from this unscathed. I'd like to see him elected as sheriff of his county, too.
Shoot, yeah.
Yeah. But to me, that would be like some vindication there. But come on, Arkansas.
Yeah. Do better.
Do better.
Yeah. Yeah. Good point. Well, what else? What is going on in your neck of the woods there, Tim?
Well, we have one of the things we have that I thought it was interesting, and it's an interesting point to me on the food issue, because there have been some questions about harvest, you know, and things going on right now. And so when I see these things happening, we had a multi-state grain merchandiser. They filed for bankruptcy, Omaha and Nebraska. It's Hanson Mueller Company. But they basically left a lot of farmers and other – I don't really care about the other corporations they deal with, but they left a lot of individual farmers at the tune of about $500 million with an unpaid. When you do an open grain contract, you haul your grain in, and then, you know, they issue you a check usually within 30 days, and they've left all these guys high and dry.
Oh, geez,
they suspended their suspended their license. The state, the Public Service Commission did, the PSC, but until they paid out, I think that was like $2.1 million, but that was just a drop in the bucket. But And a lot of these farmers are really upset because they suspected that due to all the licensing and everything that these warehousing grain dealers had, that they would be more protected by that. And, you know, I don't know how to explain that to people. If you know, you know. But I, basically, the only reason that they license and that they do all that is, one, revenue, two, control, and three, it's because they want to spy on the guys that are selling it. You're back to that information, that privacy thing again. They want to know what you're doing. That, you know, it's, that's the reason for all of that going on. It's open records to all these different agencies and different groups. That way they can get their data for, oh, corn harvest and for all the other information that they need. You know, sometimes I have to ask, does anybody ever wonder how they come up with all this information? That's how. It's through various licensing, various insurance groups, and everything else that people give up their right to privacy. And it's sold or given to these other groups. And it's all part of the control mechanism that goes on. So, but anyways, these guys are, so that was, it was huge. I mean, it rippled all the way across the state, you know, as far as that went. So, it's just, we had a shooting in Omaha. I was trying to find some stuff out about, I believe he was a Mexican. I don't know, at least judging from the name, I could not find out whether this was an ICE deal or not. He shot a 50-year-old man 3 times in the chest and then ran and ended up, he shot him like 5 times in the chest and then shot 2 other officers. Another one was injured, and he got his final judgment at a quick time. So, you know, but that was kind of, and we don't have a lot of those kind of things go on here around or statewide or, you know, whatever. So they make the news, but those are kind of the big ones for here today, as far as that goes.
What, and then there was that Lexington plant, Tyson plant that shut down, and that was, I think that was almost 5,000 jobs in Lexington. Ain't very big.
No, it's not. And that's the primary employer of Lexington. I mean, really, they shut down for just out of the blue. They were processing over 5,000 head a day of cattle, you know, butcher wise. And they just shut down. I mean, no notice, no anything, just gone. So that's been, and what's that all about? I mean, beef prices are up, everything else is going on. It sounds to me like some kind of a manipulative move on the part of the Big Four. So I don't really know. But, I mean, they have another plant in Grand Island, I think. So that also does it. So that's something that, you know, guys going to, what's up with that? But it's sure going to cripple that town. I mean, like, pulling the plug on the machine as far as Lexington goes. Mm. They don't know how they're going to survive.
Yeah.
Back to our food.
Yep. Yeah. Interesting. Interesting stuff going on.
Jason, I saw in Colorado, Tim's talking about Nebraska, and I don't really have any Texas news, but I saw in Colorado that the University of Colorado is going to pay $10 million to staff and students for trying to make them take the COVID shot.
I know. Can you believe that? It's like, dang.
So
$10 million, there's probably a lot of people that are just going to do it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So I thought that was a... I'm not even sure if Colorado has the lottery, but I guess the University of Colorado has the COVID lottery. If you just said no, I guess you're going to get a payout. So I don't know. I thought that was interesting. The interesting thing, though, truly, is that I guess this lawsuit or whatever stemmed from a group of Catholics and some other Protestant religious groups that opposed this, that worked there and that were students there. And I guess University of Colorado Anschutz School of Medicine is going to have to pay $10.3 million to 18 plaintiffs. They attempted to force them to take the COVID-19 shots over their religious objections. And I guess the court has ruled they shouldn't have done that. And that's good. I think that's a good thing to get out there.
Yeah, throw money away on every foreign aid scheme that you can come up with. It's like, well, you know, you guys, it astounds me that a lot of these people want to talk. I seen one go by the other day, and the guy was like, well, you want to talk about protection and freedom and this and that, but you went and took four vaccines just because they told you to. It costs people something to stand up. The people who didn't do it, it cost them something. In some cases, it cost them their jobs. It cost them their families. But right's right. And they were, you know, God bless them for paying the price for just saying no.
Yep.
So it's mind-boggling. And the fallout from that is just starting. I mean, as far as I'm taking, as far as what that vaccine has done. You want to?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah. We're not seeing biopsies.
Wow.
Did you guys see? Did you see in New York where they're? What was it? New York. They're working on. I think it was, it was North Carolina. I beg your pardon, not New York. They're building a Hindu statue over there, or trying to, and it's going to be bigger than the Statue of Liberty or Statue of Apollo or whatever that one is. But it's like, wow.
It's like 15 stories tall, isn't it?
I think it was 155 feet without the pedestal on it. Yeah.
And what is it?
Oh, wow.
A Hindu?
It's a Hindu god. I'm reading through here trying to find the name of the Hindu god, because none of those names really mean
anything. Mirogan. Mirogan is a warrior god of Hinduism. So they're erecting a 155-foot statue of a warrior god southwest of Raleigh, North Carolina.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah. That sounds peaceful.
Huh.
Wait,
yeah,
exactly. So,
that,
what do we need that for? Yeah. So, and they recently, it says here, it will be the latest of a batch of Hindu sculptures erected in the U.S. that have recently included an 87-foot Tower of Unity and Prosperity, inaugurated in 2022 in the nearby town of Perry on the outskirts of Raleigh, and a 90-foot tall statue of the monkey-headed Hindu god Lord Hanuman. I think we talked about that one. Installed in 2024 on the outskirts of Houston, Texas. So, yeah. It's like all these idols are popping up all over the place. So
I didn't realize that North Carolina was full of Hindus.
I didn't either.
I didn't
evidently
either.
Evidently, they have a... Well, and they said that this statue will be part of the Carolina Murugan Temple campus, for which 130 acres of land were purchased in 2019. So, yeah.
You know, guys, we've talked about Minneapolis, and I've spent a lot of time in North Carolina growing up where I grew up, and I'm just sitting here thinking, you know, the real problem is big cities.
Yes.
It's not everywhere else in the country. It's just these large population centers. That's where all of these invaders gravitate to. I mean, you know, if you had told me that this was in, I don't know, Goldsboro, North Carolina, I would tell you, no, that's made up news. But yeah, Raleigh, that triangle area, Winston-Salem, I could see that. That's the liberal heart of North Carolina. I could see where they would be fine with a monkey-headed warrior god of Hindu. ism getting put up. I'm sure everybody just thinks that that's tolerant. They've got to be tolerant, right? Let's just be tolerant. That's fine.
Well, they paid all their fees.
Yeah, right. I mean, we can't have Robert E. Lee anywhere or anything like that, but a monkey-headed warrior god of a bunch of heathen Hindus, that's cool. That's all right. Crazy. Yep. I'm sitting here thinking the Hadrian Collider over there, CERN and all of that, I think they had Shiva, who is the like goddess of chaos or whatever and death in the Hinduism. Probably nothing negative coming from this, right, Tim? Like it probably doesn't open up any type of demonic portals or anything. Like this is our Lord and Savior would probably be okay with this, right?
Yeah. That's tongue in cheek, right? Yeah, exactly.
Of course.
We're just gonna do that. I'm reminded personally of some of Hoskins' works where he talks about Dharma, and that was the Hindu thing. And Dharma is this it's tolerance, but it's destructive tolerance. Tolerance is destructive at a certain point. It's one thing to be like, well, you're over there in India, that's your country, we'll tolerate that. But that never stays that way. So at some point, tolerance, you must be intolerant. That's all there is to it. So you can't be, you can't love something unless you hate something. You can't be tolerant unless you're intolerant about something else. You can't, you can't support. There's always that opposite. I mean, it's impossible to support everything. You can't support family and God and Christ and then just like this deal with Aaron Spencer and then have pedophiles and monsters roaming around. Our Bible tells us that. Beware of Satan, your enemy. He roams about like a lion looking for who he can devour. We have to stand for something. And, that's where we choose God first. So,
I've said it and I'll say it again. I can't tolerate tolerance.
Tolerance is intolerable. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I'm always reminded of the Bible talks about moderation in all things. And that's what I'm reminded of constantly is if you don't moderate tolerance in some way, it's intolerable. If you don't moderate, eating in some way, it becomes gluttony. I mean, if you think about that, it works on any, pick one, it works on everything. It must be moderated to suit the kingdom or it's intolerable.
Well, and I saw this article, and I want to talk to it before we run out of time. Bernie Marinos, you guys know anything about him? He introduced a bill on December 1st, 2025, and it was the dual citizen ban, and ADL is up in arms about it. I'll just read it. It says the dual citizen ban alarms ADL. Item from recent U.S. Jewish news refers to a legislation proposal introduced on December 1st, 2025, Senator Bernie Moreno, Republican from Ohio, which has sparked immediate backlash from Jewish advocacy groups. Particularly the Anti-Defamation League. Below, I'll break down the bill's background. Key provision is the ADL-specific concerns are broader reactions and its potential implications for Jewish communities. This draws from official announcement news coverage. Basically, he did the same thing as he came out and said that, hey, he's like, why are we allowing members of Congress to have dual citizenships? They need to be, they should be loyal to the United States. And this has got to stop, which we've heard that in the past. And this is, it's interesting because I didn't realize that he was a guy that he was born in Colombia, and he actually immigrated here to the United States when he was 18 and became a U.S. citizen. But he is just fed up with this dual citizenship BS and wants it stopped. And he's going all out trying to get it to shut down. And he's right. It needs to stop. It's, you know, it's completely ridiculous. But I don't know. It was good to see that somebody else is picking that up and running with it. And I, you know, I hope they get that one through.
I did see the bill. I didn't realize that that's who it was. But it's telling that the ADL is the one that's having such a fit. And if you go into Congress and the Senate and look at dual citizenship on those members of that, it's also very telling because there's a whole bunch of them that hold dual citizenship. I mean, it's not one or two. So
with what country though, Tim?
Mostly with Israel.
I think they're all with Israel. I was looking into that a little bit ago, and I mean, I didn't see anybody that had dual citizenship. There might have been one with Canada, but other than that, it was every one of them was dual citizenship with Israel.
Yeah, that's the way I remember it too, because I think I looked at one point. I was like, oh my god. Mm-hmm. So, isn't that? Well, we can't have you just. We can't have you making that. I mean, what would we do? And it's interesting to me that it's such a big deal because they can still get their AIPAC funds and they can still get their everything else. But isn't it funny? So, and wrong. Yeah, I agree. We need America first. So
America first.
Exactly. I know, and I'll tell you what, that Nick Fontus, I know he's been getting some coverage lately, and for a young guy, it's like, I've got a lot of respect for that guy.
Did you say Nick for Wednesdays?
Yeah. Some of the stuff that he says isn't appropriate for women and children, but I tell you what, the guy's got a set of stones, and I did a little bit of reading about him. I mean, I don't know a whole lot about the guy, but basically, I mean, he was in college and was told, oh, you can't do this and you can't do that and you can't do this and you can't do that and you can't say this and you can't say that. And, well, that was the wrong thing to say to that guy.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's made such a stink that Schumer drafted some anti-Fuentes resolution, supposedly.
Yeah, how do you say his last name? Is that Fente? How do you say it?
Fuentes.
Okay.
Yeah. Fuentes. Right.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's funny because it's like, we're going to shut this guy up. So.
Well, and they're trying, and the problem is they can't because it's like it's there's so much truth that's coming out of it that it's actually just made it gone viral. And that's what I'm encouraged about. There is a lot of people that are out there that are, they want the truth. They want it. And, you know, they're tired. They know that they've been lied to. They know that they've been, you know, the truth has been suppressed, and they're hungering and thirsting for it. So I think that's got to be a working of the Holy Spirit, and praise the Lord for it.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. This foreign wars, foreign aid. It's like, what about us? What about our country? What about our God? You know, we spend so much time worrying about everything else that we shouldn't. And, think of all the time and treasure that's being thrown away, and resources and people. I mean, it's like, wow. Yeah. So, it's just, it's ungodly.
Yeah, it is. Well, moving on, we've got about 10 minutes left of the program. Prepper tip of the week. Go. Any thoughts?
What you got, Tim?
What have I got? The one thing I was going to say was, and I brought it up a little bit before, but as far as maintenance of your tips, we've talked about that, but also spares. I don't know if anybody else is having this problem out there, but here lately, parts are somewhat of an issue. I mean, it's a real struggle, and becoming more and more one, as far as, locally or even ordering parts in. So you might want to get some lead time out on that. I mean, if you don't have spare spark plugs for your generators or spare air filters or keep some oil on the shelf, if you've got space to do these sorts of things and you have those things in hand, make sure you have some inventory. I mean, it needs to be, you don't just need food, but you also need resources and assets to keep your other things working, you know. It's a bit of an issue, and it seems like it's becoming more of one. At least that's what I've noticed. So that's where I was. That was mine for this morning.
I had a gentleman in Missouri. He's passed on now. He died a couple years ago. But he used to tell me, you want to be your own general store. Keep that in mind. You know, try to lay in what you need. You know, think about going to the hardware store, thinking about going to the parts store, and there might come a time that you need to be your own general store. And I think about that a lot, Tim, of, you know, whether it's gun parts or whatever the case may be, we may have to become our own general store. It'd be a good idea. And going back to the old axiom of one is none, two is one, right? So that's a good thing. And I know, just from messing with guns for years and repairing guns and that sort of thing, that's always, you know, if you get a gun that comes in and this firing pin breaks or maybe this extractor breaks or whatever, in my mind, I've always ordered duplicates because, the way guns are designed, if it breaks on one, it's going to break on another one. That's just obviously a flaw in the design. So you want to have those on hand. And, that's kind of the same thing with auto parts, you know, like F-250s, they like to go through water pumps. You know, it might be a good idea to have a water pump or a starter laying around, for your vehicle. You may not get a chance to get one if the grid's down. So little things like that. I think that's sound advice, Tim.
Dad always used to say, order two. So.
Yep.
If you can.
Well, I think that's really good advice. I've seen the same thing in the parts market too, is getting stuff. And then, you know, even when, we put a fuel pump in a Ford F-150 the other day, I think it was on Monday, and, it quit on Tuesday, even though you think you might have a good part, you buy something good and quality. And it's like, and I've seen that a lot lately. It's like with sensors and with just, I mean, different parts, but it's, you think you got something and you put it in and it's faulty part. And, you know, it's going to, they'll warranty it, but you still got to drop the fuel tank again, put it on the lift and drop the fuel tank and, do the whole job again. And it's not a fun job to do.
No doubt.
I don't know. I was thinking about it. So, I'll give the credit to this was, I didn't come up with this one on my own, but I came up with it. You know, I got a buddy, Josh, from Louisiana, and he comes out and he visits on a pretty regular basis. And, you know, when I pick him up at the airport, it's he's got a rule. It's like if he's just taking a check bag or just taking a carry-on bag, I got to have a pocket knife for him when I pick him up in the truck. So I carry an extra pocket knife, and he, as soon as he gets in the truck, he puts it in his pocket. And he's got a rule around his house that when you put your pants on, you put a pocket knife, you have a pocket knife, and you don't go anywhere without a pocket knife. And I think that's a really good rule.
So do I.
It's
so do I.
I got my wife a small Benchmade pocket knife a couple years ago, and it's in her pocket all the time. My oldest son, I mean, the little boys, no, not as much. They got we got pocket knives in training. They're not real sharp pocket knives, but they do have pocket knives, and they could get into trouble if they had sharp knives or hurt themselves or hurt something. That's the, you know, and I try to make that a rule around here. It's you put your pants on, you have a pocket knife in your pocket. It's amazing how many times, you know, and once you're around people and people know that you carry a pocket knife, it's amazing how many times people are like, here, I need you to cut this. Can I see your knife? Can I borrow your knife? Can you do this? And I think that that's I think it's important. And I think that's the way it should be. You know, when you get up in the morning, put your pants on, have a pocket knife, and make sure that it's not out of arm's reach.
Yeah, that's a tool and a weapon all at the same time.
Yeah, and it's something that we take for granted. But I was, you know, talking with somebody the other day, and you know, and it's something that they hadn't thought of, and it's like, you know, but then it came into the news the other day. I mean, what was that?
That National Guardsman.
Guardsman that wasn't armed with anything except for a pocket knife. And
so, can I throw my two cents in?
Yeah, do it.
Okay, so I'm with you 100%, and I grew up, you know, if you were a man, you had a pocket knife. It just, that's the way it was. You never know when you're going to have to clean out your smoking pipe or clean your fingernails. You have to have a pocket knife. As I've gotten older, I actually carry two pocket knives. I will carry a general purpose. I will carry a general purpose pocket knife, just a Barlow knife or case knife, whatever, in my right hand pocket. And that's what I'm going to whittle with or cut a piece of string with or whatever. Well, I carry it in my right hand pocket because my gun hand is my right hand side. So I carry my gun on my right hand side. I carry my stabby knife, whatever that is, whatever I'm carrying that day, in my left-hand pocket, clipped on my left-hand pocket. The reason being is if I get in a tussle, if everything goes south that day and I'm having to do some weapon retention with my right hand, I have access with my left hand to my pocket knife. Just a thought. I want to throw that out there because I think that's good advice of, remember, there's different kinds of knives, and we certainly can use them for different purposes, but that's just what I do.
Yep, that's awesome. I think that's a good way to good way to roll. Absolutely. Well, and we are out of time, man. Thanks for being here this morning.
Thank you.
Had fun.
I did, too. All right. We'll talk to you guys later.
Adios.
Hello?
Guess who called me the other day? A TV reporter from down in L.A. He said he heard a song a little while ago on some obscure talk radio show. Then he asked if I was the writer of the music I just mentioned in the lyrics above. But now that I look back at the wisdom I lacked, I probably never should have said too much. And as he pressured me to share with him a word or two, and we carried on our telephonic interview, a wee still voice inside my head was saying, "You're gonna be sorry for every word you just said." Then sure enough, right after he was through, he slandered and defamed me on the evening news. I should have listened instead to the voice inside my head, 'cause here's what it said to me. You don't go casting your pearls before swine, 'cause they're only gonna trample them into the muck and grime. And when they're through, they'll turn.